John's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciples whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You're listening again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Always a joy to bring the message of the gospel. And today we're back looking at Peter. Peter the denier, but also Peter the one who was marvelously restored. Peter is probably the one who is the most encouraging figure in the New Testament, because we don't see a perfect man. We see a man with great weaknesses, with petulance, and he is changeable. And in that we really see ourselves, because who is consistent as they ought to be? And in the ups and downs and the distractions of life, how often we deny and feel the Lord. And so when we consider Peter and how he was restored out of wonderful grace and mercy, we see hope for ourselves. And this is the program we're bringing today on hope for the backslider, hope for the Christian that has lost out in some way, that you may be restored, revived, and made useful again in the kingdom of God. And I hope that is your prayer, that you will be of use to the Lord. And as we bring the message here on John chapter 21, may this revive your own heart and give you cause to hope that the Lord is not abandoning you, not leaving you, but will come and restore you again. So stay tuned as we move now to the pulpit ministry of our church at the Free Presbyterian Church. The Lord knows us by our complete character, by how we are named. Are we the new man in Christ? Are we the new creature where old things have passed away and all things have become new? Or are we the same old John Brown as ever before? The same old person. Nothing has really changed. Guilt-ridden, motivated by the fear of man rather than love for Christ. And so the Lord knows. Now, obviously, today we want to have the character reference of one who is deeply in love with the Lord Jesus. And as we take the cup and the bread today, that ought to be so. We are known, not just today, but every day of our walk, as one deeply in love with the Lord Jesus. We will do anything for his name, anything for his honor, any sacrifice, any self-denial that we might declare and demonstrate our love for the Lord Jesus. Will you pray for that? Are you praying that that is your testimony before the world, that others will know you as one that deeply loves the Lord Jesus? We should be aiming for that. We should be striving for that. And if you won't and don't, then how could you take the cup and bread today and say, I love Jesus, but the rest of the month you don't live it? It's very searching, isn't it? And I must say that as I came back to this passage, which to many Christians is a very familiar account, but it has such a personal application. It goes right down into the depths of our own souls and shakes us up of what we really are about. Now, do you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart? And is it your prayer to do so more and more? Now, another point I find here is that a Christian's true love is marked by humble repentance. Humble repentance. How many times does a Christian need to repent? Well, in a sense, our whole new life is one of repentance. And you'll see in verse 17, where the Lord Jesus kept asking Peter, lovest thou me? And it says here that he saith unto him the third time, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. There was pain in his heart because he knew what the Lord was alluding to. He got the hint. He got the message. He felt the rebuke. He kept asking. Three times Peter had denied the Lord. Three times now Jesus asked, lovest thou me? You couldn't miss it. And so Peter was grieved. And of course, his denial was no small sin. When that rooster crowed, Peter had cursed and blasphemed the name of Jesus. This was terrible sin. And that, of course, was so offensive to the Lord and to the other disciples and to Peter's own downfall. His boasting had become his shame. And the truth of the Bible, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall, comes as a warning to every one of us. Now, if Peter had gone into his temptation in humility, without boasting, that's when that night when he was warming himself at the fire and the little maiden said, art thou one of them? If Peter had gone into that in humility, instead of boasting, I'll never deny the Lord, well, he might have come out with a song in his heart instead of those hot, bitter tears rolling. And I'm sure it wasn't just an hour. It was a constant life now of deeply grieving over what he had done. Peter was like the preacher who made a fool of himself. He went up into the pulpit boasting that he was the best of all preachers. Well, the Lord humbled him, and things fell apart for him, and he just stuttered and stammered. And someone commented that if he had gone up the way he had come down, he would have come down the way he went up. He would have had the help of the Lord if he had gone humbly to speak in the Lord's name. But now in this incident, when the Lord got to the core of the matter, we notice Peter's humble spirit. And every time the Lord pressed on Peter, "Lovest thou me?" What did Peter say? "Thou knowest." And he said, "Thou knowest that I love thee." And he used a particular word that means human affection. Jesus was asking, "Do you love me with agape love, the love of God?" Peter would not use that term. He used the term for human love. "You know that I have affection, that I have love for you." And in every one of Peter's answers, you can see that humble, repentant spirit. It's like someone asking you today, "Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength?" What's your answer? Do you boast and say, "Oh, yes, I love the Lord with all my heart"? No. The godly response to that question is, "I want to. I long to. Would you pray that I love my Lord more? Would you pray that I so live that I will demonstrate more love to Jesus?" That becomes the true response. When we remember our past failures, and as I say, Peter becomes an encourager to us because we've done many times something like what Peter has done. Have there not been times when we felt prompted that we should speak for the Lord Jesus and we let that opportunity go by? And did we ever feel badly about it afterwards? We had a golden opportunity to speak up for the Lord Jesus and we let it go by. We were so controlled by the fear of man and by our own weakness that we didn't say a word. Now, we may not have blasphemed the name of Jesus, Peter did, but still, we are guilty of not demonstrating our love for Jesus. Have there not been times in our homes when we have not prayed with one another and demonstrated our love for Jesus? Let the devotional time slip, and again, it's all the result of our own weakness. Who can boast? Who can tell the story of unfailing love to Jesus? Not one of us. We're all Peters, and we all repent and say, "Lord, you know. You know that inside of me there is an attraction. There is a magnet in my heart that draws me to you. But Lord, I don't love you as I should. I don't delight in you the way I should. Help me." Then when we remember the heights of Christ's love for us, we recognize the weakness of our love. When we describe the love that we have for our Lord Jesus, and then you bring in the backdrop of Calvary and the cross and the nails in the hands of Jesus, and you see the crown of thorns, and you hear the cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Has any man loved like this?" Our love for Christ is so minuscule in contrast to the deep, deep love Jesus displayed at the cross. And so with aching hearts and with humble hearts, and yes, we like that man who beat his chest, "Have mercy on me, a sinner. For Lord, I don't love you the way I should." And we are convicted. Let us do what Peter did, humble ourselves and say, "Yes, Lord, you know. You know my heart. And Lord, I'll let you have the final word on that. But oh, Lord, I love you with a little love, and help me to love you more." Then I also see here that a Christian's true love is the basis of faithful service. The Lord went on to say, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep," each of those times. And you'll notice something, that they are the Lord's sheep, not Peter's. "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." They are the Lord's sheep, not Peter's. And so we need to tell the Pope that. The Pope thinks that they're all his sheep because he's the successor of Peter, supposedly. It's not true, but that's what they claim. But Peter now was conscripted to care for the Lord's lambs and the Lord's sheep. And so here is a way by which we demonstrate our love for our Lord Jesus. We love his sheep. We love his people. We love those that love the name of Jesus. We love those who claim to be redeemed in the blood of the Lamb. There is an attraction, a burden for the welfare and the care of those very people. Now, Peter now was being restored to this ministry of apostleship, to the care of souls. He was no longer just to be a fisherman or a fisher of men. He was to be a pastor, a shepherd, a carer for the souls of men. And so the other disciples heard this, and they would, in the future, have to overlook Peter's failure and say, here is a man who has shown weakness. Here is a man who's shown some disloyalty to the Lord, and yet he's charged with the care of the sheep. And he's going to do it because of love in his heart. When you and I hear a man or woman say, I love the Lord Jesus, we can overlook all else. We can overlook a lot. When we hear someone say, I love the Lord Jesus. And no doubt in that person there will be failures and shortcomings and even offenses. But we can overlook all of that if they say, I love the Lord Jesus. I do. I don't love him as I ought, but I want to love him more. Without that, if a person will not say, I love the Lord Jesus, even they are like a squeaky clean Pharisee who walk the clean side of the road and keep all the commandments, but they don't love the Lord Jesus, there's no attraction there. There's no interest in being amongst that people. But the redeemed of the Lord, a blood-washed saint, one that has been to Calvary and his now heart is throbbing with delight in the redeeming grace of a Savior. That's my people. In spite of their failures, in spite of their shortcomings, in spite of the hurts that they have caused. Because these sheep are not perfect sheep. These sheep need building up and fed and nurtured. And so Peter now was a Peter pastor. Not just the Peter fisherman or the man of the past. He was Peter the pastor. And now he will work day and night and did that he might care for the sheep. Now this is the ultimate test. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when ye love one another. Let that be a great test to you today. As you take the cup and bread and so say and profess, I love the Lord Jesus. But do you love the Lord's people? Do you love his church? Do you love the redeemed of God? Is that the delight of your heart? Or are you holding on to old offenses and old issues? How then can the love of God be controlling you? And so let the all-seeing eyes of the Lord search our hearts for your love to your fellow believer, the one sitting right beside you now or behind you. There ought to be a deep desire that they go on with Christ. And the last thing you want to be is a stumbling block to them. You got to love them warts and all. That was an Oliver Cromwell statement, wasn't that right? He had this wart on his face. And people need to be loved warts and all for Jesus' sake. And if our heart is bursting with the love of Christ, we can do it. We can do it. We can get over the hurts and we can love to a measure of Jesus' love. How can you feed lambs if you don't love them? How can you feed sheep you don't love them. In Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus spoke of this. He said, "The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And so Christ sees our interactions and the caring spirit, the love that we show and express to his redeemed people, that he might bless us more and more. Now think on this, a closing word, because it is communion, I must soon stop. A closing word. In this event of Jesus' interview with Peter, when he dealt with all these issues, between the event of Peter's denial of his Lord and this restoration is the event of the cross. If there had not been the event of Calvary in between Peter's denial and the Lord's interview with him, would there have been any resolution? What was the solution? The cross. Christ died and has died for our sins. And even the sins of denial, even the sins of our weaknesses, are under the blood of the Lord Jesus. And as we take the cup and the bread, we're coming to the cross. We're coming to confess, Lord, I love you, but I'm weak and I'm in need of grace. But Lord, I'm coming to the cross. I'm looking unto the blood of Jesus today when I take that cup and bread. And that's the right place to go. There's nowhere else to get healing for your heart. There's nowhere else to get restored. This is how Peter was restored, because Jesus went to the cross and died for him. And if you read Peter's letters, you will find that he majored on it so much, that Christ died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The substitutionary death of Jesus in the place of his people was very much Peter's theme in his epistles. And of course, we can be forgiven much. We can forgive much because we are forgiven much. And when we think of the little hurts we have and the needs to forgive and contrast it with Christ at the cross and what he bore for us, doesn't even compare. If we do not forgive our fellow believers, shall the Lord forgive us? There's a lot in this that searches my heart. As I came to this passage, I have to almost do a whole reset of why I profess faith in Christ, why I serve him, why I want to worship him, why I want to preach his gospel. Lovest thou me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And there's a lot here to get us back up on our feet and get on with serving the Lord with all our hearts. Will you do it? Did Jesus do enough for you? Will you do it? I feel constrained. Well, first of all, let me say that you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. And I feel constrained to talk to you about your own departure and your own backsliding. Because this is a message focused on Peter, focused on the communion table where Christians are to be in personal, happy communion with the Lord, resting in all the pardoning power of Jesus' precious blood. But if you're backslidden in heart, you're not enjoying that. And you may have lost out, you may have been distracted, you may have been tempted, some sin has come between you and God, and until it is dealt with, there will be no restoration, but rather you will be going on down that slippery slope of backsliding. And so I want to exhort you to return to the Lord. And there are many, many promises given in the Bible where the Lord says, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." And so if you come in your present condition, confessing your failure, confessing your sin, and your cry for restoration, that prayer will certainly be heard. You've got to remember that God is in covenant with his own redeemed people. That covenant is the grace of God at work. And it is all of grace and it's all of God. And you've got to cease looking to yourself and mourning over your failures and look by faith to the all-sufficient Christ, the sufficiency of his life, his grace, and of course the sufficiency of his sacrifice. I'm going to ask you a question, and your answer to this question will determine your state of mind and heart. Has Jesus done enough to save you and bring you to heaven? Your answer to that will really hinge on the way that you will go. If you're saying, no, I've got to do something too, and there's no hope for me, you're really denying that Jesus has paid enough. But if you will say that on the cross, the Lord Jesus paid for your sins, past, present, and future, that he took them all upon himself, and he offered up to God an infinite sacrifice to turn away God's wrath, to purchase complete salvation for every one of his people. And if you have cried to the Lord to save you, then Jesus has done enough. And that is your way back, pleading the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. And if you will do that right now, you can be restored to the Lord. You can have his complete pardon. You will be given victory over past sins. And it'll be like a new beginning, a complete new start with God. And you can press on, enjoying the blessings, the fellowship of the Lord. And if you were in my church, I would invite you to the Lord's table to take the bread and cup and to participate, knowing that it is well with your soul. If I can be of any personal help to you, make sure you give me a call. All the details are coming up now in these announcements. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.